The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310 and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Coach's Corner. This is episode number 10. Today is Friday, 22nd day of February, 2013. Good afternoon, Robin.
And it's a great day here in Las Vegas, and I'm very happy to do this topic today.
Today's topic, transitioning from sim to live trading.
Yeah, this is a very, very important and big topic for traders because there is always a quandary of, you know, how do I turn the switch on? How do I go live? And what do I do to protect myself? So I created a little kind of game for you guys to play that will hopefully keep your mind in the right place. Put a little cash in your pocket and kind of start the engines. You know, we don't want to rush into trading when you've been doing sim mode. And a lot of times, a lot of traders have actually developed a block being in sim mode for too long. And if that's the case, then you might want to contact me for some coaching if you're emotionally stuck. But we'll go through that as we go through the steps. So I created a little game for you that will protect your cash in the beginning. This is void of any kind of typical trading profit target strategies in the beginning. Because in the beginning, the goal is to, you know, get your feet wet, get your understanding of the system, get your mind set on how do you place the trade, you know, what buttons do you do, you know, what happens if something goes wrong. I mean, there's just a lot of little tiny things within your software to place your trade and just kind of watch the movement of what's going on in the trade. I'm going to assume that you're doing futures at this point. If you're doing stocks, you'll have to adjust this a little bit. So I did send you over a little text page there, Duane, if you
want
to.
I have see that. Do you want me
okay.
to bring it up now?
Yeah. Why don't you put it up? Because then people won't have to write it down. They can just focus and listen. Sometimes I don't like to put the things up because I don't want you to read ahead. I want to explain this as we go. So it'll be on the site. Once we finish the recording, it'll be up on CFRN. So you'll have it there too, but you can take notes as you go, but I want you to focus on what I'm saying because this is a very, very important topic. Okay, so when you start to go from sim to live trading, I always suggest that you look back on the days that you've traded and notice if there's any particular day that you trade better than another. I have traders that literally will only trade Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, won't trade Mondays and Fridays. I have traders that will only trade the first 2 hours of the market open or 1 hour of the market close. So the goal is creating the highest probability environment when you make the transition, obviously, because when you do that, then you lock in cash and you'll feel good about it versus having a loss. Now, there's always a possibility you're going to have a loss. There's always a possibility. It's just part of the game. One of the things that I do suggest that's not written down here if you want to write it down, and if you're having trouble accepting a loss and you want to keep the losses small because you want to have your stops in place, this is the exercise to do. You take a piece of paper and you write at the top, what's great about losing? What's great about losing? And then you put one answer per line and you fill the page. What's great about losing? Now, why am I telling you to do this? Well, losing in general is not something that we're conditioned by. especially men and women too, you know, now that, you know, women are, you know, in the trading game just as much as men are. And so losing is not fun for them either. But men are typically conditioned socially, being the best, being number one, head of the team, the little train that could, you know, it's just this whole environment of how men are raised to, you know, be the best. So with that thinking, now you go to trade and you have to accept losing. This is a real psychological shift for many people, men and women. And so to make that shift, we have to change our belief about what we believe, our belief structure of what we believe about losing. And to do that, you want to write down some reasons. So some of the reasons that you might have, and again, feel free to ask any questions during the session, and Dwayne will put them up for me.
Sure.
If you have any questions, but just type it into the box and we'll make sure that they're covered. And so you write one answer per line, and one of the, let's go through a couple of them, what they might be. One way or one thing that's great about losing is, you know, you could learn one thing or one pearl or one diamond, whatever you want to call it, that could literally help you in your trading to take a quantum leap. One little thing. And if you examine the loss, which you should after every loss, then you will add that to your strategy and then you won't repeat it. So the goal of losing is to get the lessons that you need to perfect your trading. That's another one. So I just gave you two for free. So, but if you want to change your belief structure about losing, then you want to try that exercise. Put one piece of paper, what's great about losing, and fill the page with that and read it. Because we need to shift how you've been conditioned in the past. Okay, now, let's go into this little trading game that I created for you. And, if you have any questions, please let me know. You want to be sure that when you start that your setup has been tested so that you have a very specific set of criteria that you're going by that will tell you when to enter the trade. A very specific set of criteria to enter the trade. If you haven't tested that, don't go live yet. Test it in sim mode. Anytime I do a new trading strategy, I test it in sim mode first before I go to switch it. Okay? So that's your testing ground. It's not a wimpy thing to do. It's for practice. It's so that you don't give the market your money just haphazardly.
It's the intelligent thing to do.
Excuse me?
It's the intelligent thing to do.
Yes, the intelligent thing to do. Number two, look back and again notice the days where you traded well. Maybe those are the days you want to pick to start trading live. Okay, so let's say we're taking our first trade. No matter what day it is, we're going to trade one contract to start. Now, one contract is not terribly easy to trade because you're going to attach your emotions to the money, and it's not a lot of money for a couple ticks. But the goal is just to get your feet wet and just to get in there to lock in some cash. You will feel emotionally better locking in cash than holding on to a trade and letting it run up and then run against you and then closing the trade at a loss. You will feel better locking in a few ticks. Now, this is also going to give you a little bit of a buffer. It's going to give you a little bit of cash in the bank so that when you take the second trade, you can extend it a little bit more. So the first goal, I set the first goal at 4 to 6 ticks. And again, this is just a game. This is not something you have to do all the time. This is just to make the transition smoother and easier and less pressure than if you wanted to hold it for your normal profit target of your strategy. So this is not going to go with your strategy at the beginning. This is just, again, to get your feet wet, get a little cash in the bank, get your emotions under control, go, phew, okay, get your keystrokes down, what you have to do, and lock in some cash. So now we've got 4 to 6 ticks. We've got that in the bank, and you're allowed to go again. Okay? Now, I will allow you to adjust the profit target up. Let's say you're going long. You're allowed to adjust the profit target up if you feel that the move is very strong and in your favor. Okay, a few extra ticks. So if you want to go higher than 4 to 6 ticks, the market's really strong behind you, you've got the wind at your back, and it's going, then I don't have a problem with you moving it. But I want you to move your stop at the same time to move that up. Okay, so that if your stop goes into, let's say you're at 6 ticks, maybe move your stop maybe just a little bit below your entry price, you know, or at your entry price, so that if it does pull back on you, you haven't lost anything. Again, the goal is to lock in some cash or not take a loss, because the loss is going to have a psychological effect on you if you do the loss. Now, you should always have your 3 price points when you enter a trade. Everybody knows that. I didn't put it in there, but you should have your 3 price points, your entry, your stop, and your profit target in the system. All going in at one time if possible with your system. Everybody's system's a little different. I use TradeStation right now, and so when I enter the trade, I have 3 orders going at the same time. I don't have to even think about it, but I can move them around if I need to. So I want that flexibility. I want to be able to move my stop closer, and I want to be able to move my profit target higher if I'm going long. Okay. So you have your stop in place based on your whatever your criteria is for taking the trade, and you want to lock in some cash. So the goal of the first trade is to lock in some kind of cash. Give yourself a little buffer. You will always feel better having some cash in the bank there than if you're starting at zero. You'll always feel better. So I really work hard at the first trade that I take in the morning to be profitable. No matter how many ticks it is, I will always feel better having cash in the bank. Okay, so now we go to the second trade. If the first trade was a winner, you still go for one contract, but now you can extend your profit target a little bit higher given what the market's doing. I want you to watch the market. Don't set unrealistic target prices when the market starts to get sluggish or stops or gets kind of or hitting a particular resistance level if you're going long or support level when you're going short. Don't let, don't have delusions that it's going to go, 3-4 points when it's just standing still. Really watch what's going on. Watch your indicators. Ask a question. My favorite question while you're in a trade is what's really happening. And look at all your indicators again. Do a sanity check. If it's not moving and you're up a couple ticks and it's just stopped, lock in the cash. Take the cash. Take it. Take it, lock it in. Okay, now you got 2 to go. You got 2 in the bank, and you got some ticks in there. And you know what? It could take off on you. You can always get back in again when your setup's okay, or you could get back in quickly if you find that something has changed. You can always get back into a trade. So don't worry about not getting, oh, I could have gotten 10 points out of this. No, then you weren't really prepared. If you closed it and it started breaking through some levels, then your strategy should still be working, and maybe there's an opportunity to re-enter. Okay, so there's a lot of flexibility. A lot of traders have this feeling for some reason. They get into a trade and they feel committed to hanging in there for a very long time, you know, to let it really, really run. And our goal as traders is to make money. And so, you know, locking in some cash, that's not a bad thing in the beginning. You can always change as you start to get more proficient at it and you feel more secure. Right now we want to create consistency. We want to have certainty when we take the trade. We want to build your confidence. Okay? And we want clarity on what we're doing. We want to really focus on what we're doing. So all those things will come from going slow and just locking in some cash. Okay? Now, let's say if you have a loss on the first trade, then you must stop and analyze that trade and figure out what rules or distinctions you learned, and you must modify the approach for your next trade. you don't want to repeat the same thing if it didn't work. What could you have done? Ask a question, and these are called what I call forward-thinking questions. What could I have done at that trade to make money? What could I have done at that trade maybe to lock in profits? What could I have done better with my stop and my profit target orders? You know, really look at that trade and what you could have done differently. Because if you don't modify something, the tendency is to repeat the same exact error all over again. And this is where you get your lessons. Okay? A lot of times when you're in sim mode, and I'm just going to give you this caution, a lot of times when you're in sim mode, the system will fill you. And when you're in live mode, you won't get filled. Okay? Because when you go into live mode, sometimes you won't get filled. So how are you going to manage that? The key thing is to really look at your setup, what's going on, and what's happening. It's different. It's a little bit of a difference in live mode. And a lot of times traders say, oh, I put the order and I never get filled. And I said, well, then what will you adjust? What could you adjust in that moment? Well, I probably could have put it, or I could have gone one tick higher. Okay, well, maybe try that next time. Okay, do something different. The goal is that you want to modify the approach if something has a loss. Now, I call this game the three strikes you're out for the day. Okay, if you have three losses in a row, I don't care if it's one tick you lost, you must stop. Go back to sim. And then you take one day in sim mode again to work your system before you go back. So again, it didn't work. We had three losses. This is the extreme. You had three losses. You stop, and then you go back to sim mode, and then you try after one day. So let's say it's Monday. You had three losses. You're not allowed. You have to go back to sim mode on Tuesday. Wednesday, you can trade again. Okay, to work out the bugs, write down the rules. This is how you start to modify everything that's going on. Ask questions. And if you're in the trading room, the CFRN trading room, ask your questions. Write down the questions of what you could have done. This is the perfect place to write your questions for the trading room. This is how you really move forward quickly. You're the detective. Your goal is to make money, but you're the detective. You don't want to get hooked into the trade and mesmerized by the trade and not work the trade. You got to work it once you're in there. You got to work it. You got to watch what's going on, watch your indicators, watch what's happening to gain your feel for the market. Now, a lot of traders have different ways of gaining the feel or their intuition on the market. I'm old school. I'm really old school. I used to trade from the tape, so I can't trade without time and sales. A lot of people think I'm crazy, and a lot of people just can't do it. It's just too much noise, and it does create a lot of noise. I also trade off of 25 tick, and so that gives me some parameters, and I also look at the Dow on a 25 tick, and I watch how that goes, because most of the time when I'm trading, I find that the Dow leads, and then the S&P will follow it. So I have those two charts side by side, and that gives me my feel. If it starts to, if I'm, let's say, long, and we had a teeny pullback of a couple ticks, I'll put my eye on the time and sales and the Dow and see if the Dow turns, then I'll hold on. But if I don't see the Dow turning, I may exit the trade right away and say, I'm not giving back even that much money. I'm not going to let Mr. Market take my money. I'm out of here. This is not working. And a lot of times that will happen, that it just doesn't work in that moment. So really watch what's going on in the screen, okay? Now, again, the goal is to lock in cash, lock in cash, lock in cash. So let's say you took, we're on Wednesday, you took the first trade, you locked in six ticks. Very good. Okay, so we've got some cash in the bank. We take the next trade and we lose eight ticks. Now we're down two ticks. Okay, now we're down two ticks. Okay, that's one loss. Analyze the trade, figure out what you did. Say, you know what, I should have kept my stop higher and locked in even one tick, because now I'm one loss. If I lose three, I got to stop again. Okay, so now we go back in, we take a trade, we win. We win six ticks. Now we're up 4 ticks. Okay, that's good. We're good. Okay, now we've got a little cash in the bank. We can continue. You can keep, you're allowed to continue trading as long as you have a winning trade. But if you have 3 losses in a row, you must stop. Okay, got it. It's just a game. If you don't like the parameters of the game, perfect, no problem. Change them. Make them work for you. But don't change them so you end up losing for the day or losing big for the day. That's what I don't want to happen. If you lose for the day, I don't care. I just want it small in the beginning. I want you to keep it really small because the bigger you make the loss, the more psychological damage you do to yourself as you move forward. So again, we're putting our toe in the water. We're starting a little bit. And you start increasing those parameters. Now you can set limits on yourself. You could say, I won't continue trading after 2 trades. You could even minimize it that way and say, if I have 2 losers in the row, I'm not going to trade for, you know, the rest of the day, but tomorrow I will trade. Maybe that's your rule. You don't want to take a whole day, but you'll go back to sim mode the rest of that day, and then the next day you start live again. And you have the same thing. If I do 2 and I have 2 losers, then I have to stop and go back to sim. So there's nothing wrong with switching back and forth until, again, you get your feet wet. Now, please do me a favor, because this is the tendency when you're at the stage. Cover up your P&L. Cover up part of the dome or the dome that's there, or the dom, whatever you call it. Cover up the number. Okay, cover up those numbers. Do not look at them. Shrink that part of the screen so you don't look at the cash. You know what the ticks are. You know what a tick is worth. I want you to focus on the trade. The goal in this area, especially when you're switching, is to get your criteria down and get your trading strategy down that builds your confidence so that you know what's going on. If you look at the money, it will affect your mind. It will absolutely affect your mind. Take your P&L off the screen. You know what a tick is worth. You know what 4 ticks are worth. Okay? Don't look at that part of the dome that has the prices on it. Okay? Because it will mess with your head. And then you'll have to do coaching with me, and then we'll have to get rid of some stuff and get rid of your blocks, and we'll have to start all over again. Now, if you get to the point where you do feel stuck or you feel in fear, you say you're really going into lots and lots of fear in the beginning of doing those trades, and your conscious mind wants to do one thing, but your subconscious is doing something totally different, then you probably need to give me a call or at least go to my website and take the emotional trading test and see if there's anything going on there. Now, you have a free test on the homepage, big red button, top of the page. Take the emotional trading test. See what might be going on there. And if you feel that you need to get some help, then please call, because the longer you wait, the worse it gets, and the block gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like a snowball. And then you're really in trouble, and then you just give back your money. And the best money you could spend is learning some of the techniques that I have to keep your mind straight. Okay. Remember, you are responsible. You are responsible, and you want to protect your cash so that you can trade another day. You want to go slow and nice and easy. Very, very easy. This is not something to be rushed. Don't get seduced by the market. You know, the market could be running like crazy. That's great. Wait for your setup. Listen to what's happening in the trading room. If you're in the trading room with CFRN, Michael's extremely good at, you know, this is where the indicators are. This is, you know, the setups are really very clear. Follow those. If you have your own setups, make sure you're putting your stop in automatically with your entry price and your profit target. Make sure you do not do a mental stop at this point in time. I don't suggest anybody do a mental stop at any time. I've never seen a high-end trader ever, 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 never have I seen a high-end trader not have a stop in. Never. I've never seen it. So you want to be in the same game as the big guys. They put stops in. Why? Because at any point in time, anything can happen. We could have news. We could have a 9/11. We could have anything can happen, and you can lose a fortune. I have seen in the last couple of weeks there's been some real big blow-ups with some of these announcements with some of these companies that have been out there, and I have seen just people just blowing up all over the place. So please, without a stop, please put your stops in. Okay, I can't emphasize that enough. Should I say it again? No, I won't say it again.
Yeah,
okay.
Ahead.
Any questions? Or Duane, would you like to make some comments?
Well, you covered it pretty well. The only thing is, until you go live, you're not going to know what it feels like to go live. You should
right.
remain in SIM until you are consistently profitable.
Okay? Yeah.
And that, well, how long is that? Well, you know what? If you're brand new to trading, it's going to be a month, maybe a couple months, might be 6 months. And you might find that you go from SIM to live, back to SIM, back to live. And
yep.
a lot of guys, you know, once they go live, then it's do or die. Well,
yep.
those guys usually
yep.
die. It doesn't have to be do or die.
Exactly.
It can be smart where
mm-hmm.
you go live, you experience some emotions that you did not previously experience, because no matter how real you try to make it, you realize that money in the simulator is not real money. Now,
right.
some people get very good at treating it as if it were real money, and that's good. You should. Don't get so good that you never leave the simulator, but you have to make that transition, but it's foolish to do it before you're consistently profitable in the simulator. I've sat and worked with people so many times over the years, and they go, you know, I was consistently profitable in the simulator, and then every time I go live, I immediately lose. And
yeah.
I go, really?
Yeah.
I go, oh, yeah, every time. That's, you know, I go, okay, what are you doing different? Nothing. I do exactly the same. So I keep – it takes about 30 minutes usually to pull this out of them. There's either one or two things. One, they really weren't consistently profitable in the simulator. Or two, they were doing something different. I always get to the bottom of it. It just depends on the individual, you know, how stubborn they are, before they'll finally break down and go, okay, all right, well, here's the deal. All right, I wasn't consistently profitable, but I did really well. In fact, the other day I put a trade on, and when I came back from lunch, I'd made $900. So I knew right then and there I was ready to go live. What? Because you put a trade on and went to lunch and came back and luck had spun it in your direction and you put some money up? Well, okay, I did that 3 days in a row. Oh, okay. Well, you're about due for a loser. Yeah, now's a great time to go live. Don't kid yourself. Don't fool yourself. It's, you know, most people come into trading with some fixed amount of money that they've saved up, worked hard for, it's part of their retirement. And if you blow that up, you might not get another shot. Some of that has to do with your age. Maybe you've saved up money over the years, and so you've got X number of dollars in the bank, and you're only going to take X amount and put that towards trading. But you burn through it pretty quick. And so you take a little more. You need to take a little more. Pretty soon, you realize that you either have to now actually learn how to trade, or you got to go back to work. What's it going to be? Now, the way to avoid that is to make sure you're consistently profitable before you leave the simulator. Once you leave the simulator and you get into live trading, and you start to experience the emotions, and you start to have losing trades. Not when. I said not if, but when you start to have losing trades, go back to the simulator, work on your crafts, your trade, mm-hmm. your setup, work on that, develop some consistency, get your confidence level back up. Because I'll tell you, if you step into a live market without confidence, you'll get whacked off at the knees time after time after time. You have to spend time in that simulator to build up your confidence. You go out live. Now, once you're live for a while, you'll start to build confidence in a live market. That
right.
can lead to arrogance, cockiness. You've got to guard against that. okay?
Right.
You have to stay humble. You have to stay smart. You have to have a reasonable goal. Someone the other day I was working with, they go, you know, I've worked out my plan and I've decided I'm going to trade the S&P because you guys, any of you that are partners, you've seen the PDF about how to build a business plan, how to build a trading plan. And he goes, okay, I'm going through it. I've decided I'm going to be an S&P trader. That's what I'm going to trade. And then I'm only going to go for 20 points a day. And I said, whoa, stop. What do you mean you're going to go for 20 points a day? Well, he goes, well, yeah, you know, I know that's a little more than you guys. But I go, no. It's a lot more than we look for 2 points a day. He goes, well, I know it's more, but, you know, that's what I want to go for. I go, well, do you understand that the market doesn't even travel 20 points in a day? Well, what do you mean? I go, I mean, the market doesn't travel 20 points in a day from top to bottom. Now, if you're able to trade every crook and turn of the market over the course of the day, there probably is 20 points of travel in the market, more than that. But are you actually skillful enough just starting that you're going to be able to navigate every hairpin turn in the market over the course of the day? Oh, well, okay, well what should my goal be? No, that's your job. We tell you what our goal is. We show you what our goal is every day. We talk about it on and on and on. We've done it for years. There's hundreds of hours of video. And so if you can't take a hint, then you have to sit down and figure out for yourself what your goal should be. And I'm not saying your goal has to be what our goal is, but you have to have one. It has to be realistic. It has to be attainable. You have to be able to measure it. Otherwise, you know, if you get in a car and you don't know where you're going, how will you know when you get there? You won't. Same thing with trading. Okay, you got to lay it out.
Yeah, you brought up a really good point about the winners. If you go in there and have a bunch of winners in the row, and that could happen too, that's when you're vulnerable. Okay, that's when you're vulnerable. Again, the goal is to not look at the P&L, just take a winning trade, winning trade, winning trade, winning trade. Don't even look at it. At the end of the day, be surprised about what you got. You'll know that you have a bunch of ticks, but maybe you don't know how much it actually adds up to. So, you know, if you cover the P&L and just focus on the quality of the trade, the quality of the trade is what's critical right at this point. Get that quality down. When the quality's there, your confidence will be there, your certainty will be there, your consistency will be there. And if something little happens, this is also a great place to start building your trading plan. So, you know, you might say to yourself, you know, put some things into your trading plan that protect your cash as you're going. You could add one of these games into your trading plan. You know, a trading plan is pretty extensive. And so this is a great place to start writing your trading plan and how you're going to approach the market. What are you going to do? What are you going to do if you lose in 3 days? How are you going to shake it off? You know, what are you going to do for yourself when you pat yourself on the back? So, you know, you do something nice for yourself. If you had, I did three great trades in a row. I had one trader that I had him, and he loved this for some reason. He had like a thermometer that they put, let's say, outside a church when they have donations and they mark what their donations are. They want to get to a particular goal. He used to create a thermometer for himself, what he wanted to do for the month. And he would watch that thermometer and he would add to the thermometer when he had his winning trades. And he loved it. For some reason, that worked for him. Everybody's totally different. Create something that works for you. But make sure if you have a loss that you don't go forward to try to get it back quickly. Understand exactly what has happened and how you're going to change your approach on the very next trade. Okay? That's very, very, very important. It takes your mind off of going into the fear because it shifts it to looking for an answer to the challenge. And so it's shifting it in a different direction. It's keeping it busy, and it will keep you out of the emotion. And that's the key. We don't want to go into emotions when we trade. We want to trade logically. It's either working or not working. This is working. That's working. That's working. We're good. We're staying in. We're staying in. We're staying in. Okay, it's changing. Okay, that doesn't seem to be good. Okay, I'm closing my trade. That's kind of how your mind is going to be thinking at the time. Okay? So nice and easy and nice and slow. Those the comments were fantastic, Dwayne. Thank you, because I forgot the, you know, the winning part. Don't let your ego get in the way here, because that is just as dangerous. Overtrading can be just as dangerous as not trading at all because you're in fear. Okay? Sounds good. Any questions? Questions. All again, right. Go to the website, robindayne.com, robindayne.com. You can call me, 702-616-3744. You can email me, rd for Robin Dayne, coach, C-O-A-C-H, 22, at yahoo.com. Tell me what's going on. I'm happy to talk to you about what's going on. If it's really a bad block, I will suggest coaching. If it's not, I'm not going to suggest coaching. I had two people call me the last day, and I had one guy say to me, he says, I can't believe you're not trying to sell me. And I said, no, I'm not trying to sell you. If you need coaching and you're ready for coaching, you'll know. You'll know that you're ready for coaching. I said, but if you take the trading test and you get and you only have the number 3, which is very, very low, I'm going to say you might not need coaching. Okay, you don't need coaching. You know, I just want you to keep working on this, this, and this. And if everything, you know, goes that way, then you're okay. But if it goes off, then call me. But I don't force coaching on it. People have to be ready for coaching. And they have to be at a particular place where nothing else is working. You need to get resourceful. You have a lot of resources within your own mind. So keep working those resources. And then if you really get stuck, I'm there to pick up the pieces if you need some help. Okay,
Alan
absolutely
has a,
there.
Alan has a question. What do you consider to be overtrading? I'm guessing you made a comment about overtrading.
Yeah, if you go into a trade, if you get to the end of the day and you've got a ton of contracts and your contract fees have blown away your profits, then you probably are overtrading. You're probably overtrading. You're going in and out too much and you're not waiting for your setups to really take hold and do something. So just, you know, watch the fact if you're overtrading.
Now,
okay.
Something I want to add to that, and be careful how you think about the overtrading thing. Let's say that your goal is to make 2 points a day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether you make that in one trade mm-hmm. or 10 trades, the net profit or the profit from 2 points net mm-hmm. on one contract is $100.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's 2 points net. In other words, you've covered your commissions.
Right.
If it took you one trade, you only spent $6 or $7 in commissions. So
right.
you may just leave it at 2 points gross because you know that, you know, you've got that 5%, 5 to 6 to 7% fee that you're paying in commissions. So your net for the day is $93.
Right.
On one contract, you're okay with that, all right?
Yeah.
Now,
great point.
Let's say that in order to net 2 points, you have to make 10 trades. Okay.
Right.
All right, if you had to make 10 trades and you're paying $7 round trip commission, the broker made $70, you still made $100. If it took you 10 trades to net your 2 points, you stimulated the economy because rather than just you making $93, you made $100 and the broker made $70. Now, I'm not here to pitch, you know, make a lot of trades so the broker
yep.
can live large. Although, if anyone deserves to live large, certainly no one deserves it more than Bert or Leslie, who we work with at Daniel's Trading. But that's not my point. Sometimes I hear people, they get all twisted up about the commissions. See, I used to trade equities. I used to trade with flesh and blood brokers before there was online trading or right at the beginning of online trading. And to pay $70 in commission to get into a position and a couple hundred dollars to get out of the position because they took a percentage of your profits was standard business. And so when this thing came along that you could trade equities for $10 each side, and then I came to futures and it was $5, $6, $7 for a round trip, I was like, wow, talk about a discount. So yes, you need to be conscious of overtrading, but if at the end of the day you've met your goal, okay, and let's say that when you got up in the morning and sat down, you got your trading plan, your business plan, and your business plan says, today I'm going to net my goal today, which is definable, attainable, and measurable, is to net 2 points. If at the end of the day you've made 20 trades, now that's an extreme. If you had to make 20 trades, then we got to get back into the simulator and figure out what's not working. But 10 is not an unreasonable figure, because you very well may get stopped out your first two trades. So, but at the end of the day, if you had to make 10 trades, but you met your goal plus 2 points, you netted it, or even if you just grossed it, you're still on the profit side of the equation. So now we have to ask ourselves, well, is that over trading? And I have to say, no, it's not. That there's some who would argue and say that, you know, if you have to take more than, you know, 3 trades or 4 trades to make $100, then you're over trading. Well, you know, if they want to have that argument, I suppose I could make some time to argue it with them. But I'm just sharing with those of you, and especially you, Alan, because I know that you're relatively new to trading. Don't, you know, all the stuff that you hear, and people say stuff, and they don't realize how impressionable it is on new traders, because they forget when they were new. But somebody with a deep voice and a lot of swagger in their walk, they can cause a lot of damage just walking from one side of the room to the other with the stuff they say. And people should really be careful what comes out of their mouth, because other people, new people, take it as the gospel. They go, oh, boy, he sure sounds like he knows what he's talking about. It doesn't mean he does.
Right.
So, anyway.
Yeah, you really do want to be a self-thinker. You know what I mean? People will put a lot of information out there. Some of it you will take, some of it you won't take. Decide what works for you. You have your own trading style, your own approach. People are different, and they react differently. I mean, you can go to, you know, a workshop, and you could learn, you know, 100 people in the room learn one strategy, but why isn't everybody making money like the guy who's teaching it? Because everybody does it differently. So all I'm saying for a bottom line is to make sure that you're looking at your errors to turn them into profits and modify a trade setup if it's not working, so that you can move forward. That's how you move forward. Look at all the different things that are out there and find what works for you. And everybody's just different. Everybody's different. But, you know, again, you just don't want to, you know, overtrading to me is like you can't stop. If you're getting into a very addictive kind of got to take a trade, got to be in there, something's not right. Okay, something's not right. You're emotionally getting hooked, and you are going into a fear, which is a fear of missing out. And the fear of missing out can be as powerful as the fear of losing, the fear of missing out. Oh, if I'm not in there, I'm not going to get it. You know, that's not what you want. You know, you want to be logical, look at your setup. Setup is there, time to enter, get into the trade. Look at the trade, keep monitoring what's going on, watching what's happening, watch, going in my favor. Okay, I'm still okay. I'm going to stay in. I'm going to take my profit. I'm going to move my stop up, whatever it is. Decide how you're going to manage that trade. It's your style. But the goal is to lock in cash. Okay, goal is to lock in cash. So in the beginning, I'm just suggesting to take a couple ticks off the table so that you can get the feel of winning, because winning feels better than losing. So lock in cash, get a little buffer of money in there, and then go from there. And then you can always go back to sim, and then you can always go back to live, and you go back to sim, and you go back to live.
Now, those
do whatever
of you,
you want.
In the live trading room in the mornings, you have the benefit of seeing someone use an incredibly aggressive style of risk management.
Mm-hmm.
Michael brings that stop to break even plus a tick really mm-hmm. quick. In many cases, far faster than I ever would. However, we do that for a reason, and I mean not necessarily faster than I would do it trading in front of you in a training environment, but certainly faster than I would do it in my own trading. But the reason he does that is he wants to instill that in you. that you have to preserve whatever capital you have to work with. You've got to make it last. And if you take, you know, if you took ten stops in a row where you were at break even plus a tick, okay, hasn't cost you a thing in commissions, you've got some good experience trading, and you actually feel pretty confident and pretty good about things, although you certainly would like to, you know, have your couple points and be done, but you know that you can protect yourself. You're not worried that you're going to wake up tomorrow and blow up your account because you're in control. Watch what Michael does. Watch how he moves that up. Know that if you'll learn that in the beginning, that over time, as you get out of the simulator and you get into live trading, you'll begin to relax. You'll learn to give the trade a little more room to breathe. But you're always going to err on the side of being too aggressive with your risk management. Okay? You'll find your own rhythm over time. But in the beginning, you have to preserve your capital. It's critical. Yeah, Gary says it's better to be out wishing you were in than to be in wishing you were out.
I love that. That's great, Gary. That's great. I love that. I think that's fabulous. Yes, that's absolutely the truth.
You know, if you make,
absolutely the truth.
If you make 10 trades and you only gross 2 points, you don't net it, then the broker makes $70 and you make $30. Very good point. Okay, like I said, you still end up on the profit side of the equation.
Yep.
So if it, now let's say that over time, that's as good as you ever get. Okay, you just can't get any better than at the end of the day, the broker makes $70 and you make $30 on one contract. Well, if that's as good as you can get, after we try to help you and Bert and Leslie try to help you and whoever tries to help you, well, if that's just where you're at, well, you can still increase your number of contracts because you are profitable.
Mm-hmm.
And at 10 contracts, well, you will be making $300 a day.
Mm-hmm.
That is $1,500 a week. That is $75,000 a year. And that's being right, I don't know, what, 30% of the time,
mm-hmm.
roughly. So I'm not encouraging anyone to go down that road, but if you've taken 10 trades at the end of the day and you're trading one contract and you've only made $30, hey, you made $30. You paid the broker,
right.
You paid your commissions, you paid your costs, and you still made money. That should be your goal, is to make some money every day. Now, some people would say, oh, that's a dangerous goal. Well, I don't think it is. I think it's a if you don't have that goal, you're going to get lazy, you're going to get complacent, and pretty soon you're going to have all kind of alligators nipping at your heels. So, let's see, is there any other questions in here?
That was great. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you have any suggestions for other topics that you'd like to have on Coach's Corner, or challenge that you're going through and you'd like to have us to work out on that topic, please feel free to send me an email on what that is. I'm very happy to do it with you and to do it for the group, because if you're having the challenge, 10 to 1, somebody else is, or many people are having it. And so there are many, many topics that we can go through. But if it's focused on what you need, it's a great way to get information. And all those previous Coaches Corners, the 10 of them, are on the CFRN network somewhere, because I was trying to find them the other day. But they're somewhere. I did see the last one, which was in the news, but
no.
I couldn't find the other ones.
No, they're all there. Here, look at my screen. All you have to do is go to CFRN.net. Click
that's
on
where,
right
that's
here.
Where I got lost. Okay.
E-mini radio
that's
blog.
The blog, okay.
And then, guys, as you this is a table of contents. If you just scroll down, there's Coach's Corner episode number 9.
Oh, perfect.
Number 8.
I knew I was looking in the wrong place.
7.
Okay, perfect. Excellent.
And now, also, if you just click here, this just takes you into the blog and everything's in chronological order. So you can scroll down and get to it that way as well.
But oh, they're all there. Okay, I knew you would give me the quick way.
And you know, Robin, when you wanted to get those links, if you just go here.
I'm going
to
go there. That's what I was looking for. I can do them now. I don't need them from you. I'll go through them.
If you simply highlight it like that and go Control-C, then go over and paste it. You'll have it.
Yeah, my web person will put them up on my site. We're doing a separate section on our homepage for them.
Jonathan made a really good point, and his point was a good profit margin for any business is between 15 and 20% of income. So you guys should just order some cheese with your wine. Not that anybody here is whining, but people do because of the money they pay the broker. Oh, the commissions, they're eating me alive. He made 70 bucks and I only made 30. Well, if you made 30% of that day's action, for lack of a better term, well, guess what? You're doing better than the average business.
Yeah.
And you got to do it in air conditioning.
Yeah, good point.
Okay, let's see what else we got. Mike says thank you very much. Rick says thank you very much. Everybody says thank you, thank you, thank you.
Great. Thank you, guys, too. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll see you on Monday in the regular room there.
Okay. Robin, you have a great weekend. Thanks so much.
And you too, Duane. Thank you for having me.
We'll see you on Monday.
Okie dokie.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Duane Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.
Cut, wrap, put it in the can. All right, this trade that's on right now, guys, that tweet to be long 1511, that went out way back during the radio show, okay? We had a drawdown to 1509, actually 1508.75, so that was a 2.25 point drawdown. This is off an hourly chart. So what the thing I wanted to point out is as price was coming down the other day, as we traded down through 0607, if you see how price pulled back into the zone, found resistance, it was support. It broke through. It became resistance. We went down to find the next zone. Okay, on today's move, we moved up. We pulled back. Okay, first, this was resistance for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 hours. Finally broke out to the upside. We pulled back into the zone where we consolidated for 1, 2, 3 hours. We finally got going on the upside, okay? So we had this, but do you see this here, this pattern right here where it pulls back in and then goes, and then right here it runs up and then it pulls back into the zone, finds its support, gets its footing. Now here it did it for 3 hours, where over here it did it for really 1 hour, okay? And that's just how it's going to play out, but that doesn't change the way that thing will flow. So I just want to point that out. That's, you know, with the S&P already up, I forget how many points we were up, and the Dow was up, I think the Dow was up 70 points when I put this trade on, or 65. I was a little hesitant because we'd already moved that far in the course of a day. But I had to put that aside. Okay, or I had to at least weigh that along with all the other factors that supported the trade. And this zone overhead, 1617, I really feel like it's calling, because over here, we blew through it really quick. We didn't spend any time consolidating or coiling. Now, we did earlier in the week back on Monday. So, yeah. You know, we've already spent some time. We spent a lot of time. We spent 24 hours practically coiling in that zone. So, the part I just said about it needing to come up here to spend some time, I don't know. We're at 15.14, so if you got in at 15.11, you've got 3 points in the trade right now. You might want to wrap it up and call it a week. Or get your stop right up behind that thing, man. If it comes back, fine. Okay? That red line right there, just imagine that's the DOM, and the red line right there is your stop. Okay? Yeah, Jonathan, Monday was holiday trading. We had a 3-point range for 24 hours. Exactly. See, it's trading 15, 14 and a half, 15, 14, 75. Let it go to 15. When it pops 15, let's go. It's 15. Oh, did it go 15? It went 15. See, now you come up maybe a little bit more. Another tick with your stop, if you're following it with your stop. You're going to trail it up. Because I'm looking to go to the zone 16.17. I think that's where we should wrap the week up. But let's see. If it ticks up, the high tick is 15.15. If it goes 15.15 and a quarter, then you could lock in one more tick. 15.15. Whoop. Whoop. Now, this is only an example of if you wanted to, you know, try to play it out to the very end. You could just take whatever profit you have. There's 3.5, 3.75. There's been as much as 4 when it hit 15. But it didn't trade through 15, so there's no guarantee that you would have exited at 15. In fact, you probably wouldn't. So now we just needed to click to 15, 15 and a quarter. Go on. It's only a few minutes left in this trading session. Although the markets do reopen because of that new crazy thing they did with the hours. I think it's 4:30 Eastern, Jeanette, or 5:30. You know, I have to go look at whatever the new trading hours are. I like just go to the CME website. I don't trade Friday afternoons. Once this thing closes here, I don't look at it again until I'm doing the blog post at night. But go to CME, and they'll have their time schedule posted. Jonathan might know. Jonathan, do you know? It's going to close here for 15 minutes, and then it's going to reopen. Which I understand, that's, you know, during the week, but to do that on a Friday, the fact that they reopen on a Friday is kind of surprising, I think. This thing's really kind of running out of steam here. 15, 14, 75. See if we get a final pop. There's a few more minutes left. Now, see, for some people, this is a little too much anguish, you know, inching along behind this thing. For many people, it's more comfortable to just, hey, you know, I hit my 2 points or my 3 points or whatever it was I was after, and I'm done. I'm out. If it keeps going, I'm okay with that. No remorse. No crying in my soup. Nope, there's 15.15 again. I don't have any specific amount, Jerry, that I trail by. You're asking, do I trail by a half? I was just showing an example up here on the screen. You can trail by, you know, the S&P, because of the way it channels back and forth, if you trail by two ticks, you probably should just go ahead and get out, really, because you're going to get, I mean, you might get a couple more ticks in the trade, but then you're going to give those right back with the two ticks you were trailing. So I think, you know, a minimum of three or four ticks, probably, if you're going to, hey, I'm really close behind this, but I'm not, this isn't my Dom here. I'm just trying to show you guys. See, here it's going to come back. Now, if you were trailing this, you were one tick away from getting stopped with where I have that red line sitting. It's the low of that hourly candle, which started 5 minutes ago. And that's actually, what's the low of that candle? 15.1375 and the high is 15.15. So just where I had the red line there, that was actually, that's actually five ticks. From the low of that candle is 15.1375, the high is 15.15. So that's a five tick trail right there. And see, even that's probably not going to be sufficient to keep you in this trade. So again, you know we could have gotten out at 15.1475 because the market traded up to 15.15. So anybody with an exit order at 14.75, there's a guaranteed fill for you because price traded through it and hit 15. Now, if your exit order is at 15, there's no guarantee at all that you got filled. In fact, it spent so little time up at 15.15, unless you were at the head of the line, you probably didn't get filled. Okay, Kerry says that the market will close at 4:15 Eastern. It'll reopen at 4:30, and it will close at 5:15 Eastern. Okay, thanks, Kerry. Well, you know what, guys? I still got the recorder running, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to wrap this thing up and head out. I'll just leave that red line sitting there, and I'll leave this chart up. But the tweet that went out during the radio show, and the reason I didn't announce it on the radio show is because I wanted to do this. I wanted to say, if you don't follow the Twitter feed, you need to. You should have it showing up on your desktop, in your browser. Yowzer. See, if you install the toolbar, the CFRN toolbar, right here, download our toolbar, install that, it'll give you a warning, don't worry about it. This toolbar was built in conjunction with Amazon, you don't have to worry about any bugs or any of that stuff. But right up here, anytime there's a new tweet that comes out, it'll pop up right up here, and you'll see it, and you'll be on top of it, okay? You can also check to see what the last tweet was, and that's what it was right there. Consider being long ESH3 above 1511 if the opportunity presents. And we were just starting to build this candle here when I tweeted it out. Or we might have still been on this one. 10:45 a.m. So that would have been 12:45 a.m. Eastern. Okay, well, that's it. I hope you guys all have a great weekend. Thanks for sticking around. And if you have any questions, if there's anything you need, email support@cfrn.net. If you're on the free trial and you need any help, let us know. If you're finished with your free trial, you're ready to become a partner, shoot an email over. We can get you set up over the weekend. Not a problem. Okay? All right, guys. Take care.